And you know what time it is, you know? It's time to think about the real issues that shape and move this country, where it's going and what it's doing. And there's nobody better to analyze the situation, where we're going, what we're doing, than Moshe Feiglin from Manhigut Mondays. But it's Tuesday. Moshe, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
It's good to have you on with us. Moshe, you just returned from Chutz La'aretz, from outside of the land of Israel, and you visited a dear friend of the Jewish peoples, and his name is Jonathan Pollard. You visited Jonathan Pollard in jail. Now, first thing, how many visitors does Jonathan Pollard get? A lot?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think he gets a lot. It's a procedure that you have to go through, and on the other hand, not so many people are aware that it can be done, and I think it should be done.
Why do you go? Why do you think it should be done? Why do you spend your time traveling to Chutz La'aretz to go visit Jonathan Pollard? What's the point?
We may be both of us living today because of him. He saved us, and as a punishment, we letting him rot in jail. And I feel obligated to him, and I wish the state of Israel would have felt the same.
In the Likud primaries, you guys put out, Manhigut Yehudit put out a beautiful little flyer that had a letter written from Jonathan Pollard saying that he backs you as the candidate to lead Likud. And I wonder out loud like this, is it smart for him politically to back you? Doesn't he want to, let's say, reach out to the majority of the people of Israel? Why would he back, you know, the what some people perceive as an extreme right winger in the Likud, as opposed to, I don't know what, trying to curry favor with people like Ehud Olmert?
Well, first of all, he's a very brave man, and if I would have thought that Jonathan is putting himself in danger, I wouldn't ask him, even though it was of course his decision. But I personally don't think that there's any difference. Meaning, my feeling is that nothing good can come out of the existing politicians in Israel, and that's why I feel that I'm not putting him in any danger in coming in favor of me.
Let's not forget that that Jonathan Pollard has been in jail for 20 years already.
21. I mean,
21 years. If you wanted to curry favors from the Israeli government, that could have been done already over the past two decades.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I believe that Jonathan Pollard is in jail because of Israel, not because of the United States. And therefore, I don't see no difference if he's coming in favor of Feiglin or anyone else. Israel today is the biggest enemy of Jonathan Pollard.
Ouch! That's a very painful statement. And I know that Jonathan Pollard did seek asylum in the Israeli embassy in Washington, and
he was thrown out of the embassy.
Yeah.
Look, he was not the only one that the Americans wanted Israel to let go from the embassy and fall into the hands. There was another one, Avihem Sela, a high rank officer that worked with him at the same time in the same embassy. Israel betrayed the Jew, Jonathan Pollard, and kept and fought and kept and saved the Israeli, Avihem Sela. And that's the whole story. That's the bottom line. Israel is the state of the Israelis, not the state of the Jews. I'll tell you more than that. And again, I'm talking for myself. I'm not talking in Pollard's name. I'm just telling you how I understand the situation. The basic dream of the Israelis is to become something else instead of Jews. Let's be Israelis instead of Jews. Let's look like Americans. And here comes the Jew from America and saving the Israelis from the Americans. In other words, he destroyed the whole dream. So who needs him here?
Now, his life itself has been destroyed. If it's true that he destroyed somebody else's dream, I guess the dream of his normal life has been destroyed.
Yes.
He sat 21 years in jail. And you get to see him. What state is he in? North Carolina, correct?
Yes, Butner, North Carolina.
Now, you get to see this man. I mean, describe to us, please, what you see there. What you see when you try to go visit Jonathan Pollard.
You expect to see, after 21 years of very, very hard things that he went through torture and horrible things was done with him. You expect to see a broken man, and you find the complete, the other way around. You find a brilliant person, very strong. I cannot describe how amazed I'm already the second time, but even though I already saw it once, I now, at my second visit, the guy is, the Jonathan Pollard is a brilliant man. He has what to say about everything. He has an opinion. He brings records from the Bible, I mean, from the history, from all kind of other directions. Very knowledgeable, very smart, very strong, and very good man, very good and important Jew. Let me tell you something. When Jonathan Pollard, Bezrat Hashem, will come to Israel, we need him much more than just to save him. We really need that man here. We need his talent.
Now, Mark from Boston has just put up on the virtual studio Jonathan Pollard's address in jail, and it's Jonathan Pollard, 09185-016, next line, capital letters, FCI, Federal Corrections Institution, Butner, P.O. Box 1000, Butner, North Carolina, United States of America, 27509-1000. And if you need that information again, you can find it right now in the virtual studio, and I can you can email me and I'll give you that information again. The question is, what is the surroundings? I just want to know, is it the world of a prison? Is it like, how do you get to see him? Just tell me what it looks like there. I just want to know.
You go through checking and through a lot of gates and many bars, and you have to be scanned. I brought my new book to give him as a present, my new book that I dedicate especially for Jonathan Pollard. I thought I'll be able to give it to him directly. I couldn't. I had to just show it to him, and then the book has to send through the jail. They have to go all through it. Person from the American intelligence has to sit there all the time, listen to the conversation. It has to be in English. So I don't know, after 21 years, I don't know what kind of secrets the whole procedure is really don't forget, there's no vacations over there. He's kept for when the Americans holding a person in jail, he's in jail. Not right. Going out of there.
Right, I know what you mean. Not like in Ushpiz.
One another
get a
important thing that I think people not aware. Esther Pollard don't get a penny from the state of Israel. A penny. Not from the defense ministry. Nothing. The state of Israel denial Jonathan Pollard completely. We betraying Pollard every day again and again. The fact that the Supreme Court of Israel just decided that he's not deserve the to be
the
called
prisoner
the prisoner
of Zion
it's crazy. He was good enough. The America was putting us in enough danger to send Pollard to put him in jail for 21 years for us, but is not enough enemy to us to call him a prison of Zion. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Even just to acknowledge a status to him that he's a person who's important to us, which really, I mean, it could otherwise be meaningless, but even just a show of some sort of support, anything, you know, the Israeli government can't do that.
Right.
Now, Jeffrey Cohen from Hillside asks, what can the Jews of the U.S. do for Jonathan?
Look, I met a lot of Jews in the United States that feel uncomfortable with the situation with Jonathan Pollard, and that's a very we know that behavior of Jews from the Jewish history, but every Jew in America and all over the world should know that he's the next Jonathan Pollard. That Jonathan Pollard is over there because he's a Jew. And denial Jonathan Pollard, thinking that this way the it's not going to get to you, is a big mistake. When you fight for Jonathan Pollard, you're fighting for yourself. And maybe in America even more than in Israel.
Now there are right now two Jonathan Pollards on the way.
Right.
Steve Rosen and Keith Weissman from APAC. These guys, Moshe, I worked with these guys. I was there for a summertime and I got to meet them and I saw their dedication to Israel. They're being set up again to go to prison for many years for what? For again trying to save Israel, for again trying to save Jews, for doing normal things, and they're being set up by the American government, and again they're being denied support by APAC and by the Israeli government. It's in the making. We're going to have Pollard 2 and 3 soon in jail if we don't do something about it.
You know, and when there is no quantity in injustice, there's only quality. And when you letting it happen with one Jonathan Pollard, it's going to get to the masses. It's going to get to your doorstep. You can be sure about that. It's going to get to the doorstep of each one of us. When we deny a Jew, and we betraying a Jew, the sacrifice himself for us, it means we losing our dignity. We losing our honor, and we are going to be the next online.
Now I wanted to ask you, when you show up there, when he sees your face, Does it make him feel good? Does it make him feel better? Does that meeting for the 2 hours that you're there with him, does that make him, you know, give him strength?
Look, we hugged, and
oh, you got to be in the same room?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. I thought you were probably separated, but
and yes, it used to be worse. Now he's in a prison that's what they call medium. There is two, as far as I understand, there are three kind of prisons in America. He used to kept in the worst one.
In
now
maximum
he,
security.
Now in maximum security. Now in medium security. And in this you can at least we can hug each other. Yes.
So did that give him koach, you think?
Look, what's incredible about this man that you're not giving him koach. He gives you koach.
Right.
And you know it's something that everybody says, but in Jonathan Pollard it's really true. He spoke from the 2 hours and 15 minutes that we sat over there. He spoke maybe 2 hours.
Wow.
And he gave me a lot of chizuk, a lot of new ways to look at the situation. He's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. I really, I'm sure, I know. I got from him much more than he could ever get from me.
Wow. And his mental and physical health?
Well, I don't know about his physical health. I hope it's good.
Does he look good, though?
He's standing on his feet.
Okay.
He's standing on his feet and talks clearly and looks clearly. If what's his... you know, I'm not a doctor. I didn't get into it. But I can assure you on his mental point of view, mm-hmm. better than mine.
All right. Well, okay. Very good. Well, we're glad to hear that he's at least alive, and there's much more to do. And I recommend it to people to check out the Pollard website and to reach out to Jonathan, to reach out to Esther Pollard, and to see if they can help. And we got to keep going. And the fact that he supports you means that there are people out here in Israeli politics that are still very much interested in getting this Jew free. Now, speaking of Israeli politics and Manigut Yehudit, you had some very raucous news came out of Manigut Yehudit, and that is that one of your main ideologues and main members, maybe one of the co-founders of Manigut Yehudit, Moti Karpel, left the movement. Do you want to tell us about that a little bit?
Well, it's important to know, you know, usually when political movements or whoever's in politics separate, it's because position of power, are you going to be number one in the list, number two in the list, or things like that. We used to it. We see it in politics all the time. Here it's what we call machloket l'shem shamayim completely. Moti,
a disagreement for the sake of heaven.
Exactly. Actually, it's the other way around. Moti thought that I should leave Likud and run to Knesset. We got offers that were very promising, and I probably could have been in the coming Knesset. And asked nothing for himself. It's all as you said, l'shem shamayim. The idea was that we'll get into Baruch Mazel's party and continue from there, two, three seats in the Knesset and continue from there.
That would have given a boost also to Mazel's party as well.
It could have been given a boost for Mazel's party, and we would have been in the Knesset and could talk about Manigut Yudit as much as we like,
right,
from inside and the outside. That's what Moti thought. And I felt that even though I would have gotten then the microphone of the Knesset, even though I would have gotten then the Knesset microphone, the body language would have said exactly the opposite. Just assume that the whole primary campaign that we just went through running to the leadership of Likud would have been taking place from Mazel's party. It would have been a big joke. It would said nothing. My feeling is that we could not get as far as we got from Likud in any other
medium. So
but perhaps you could have built on the momentum which you gained in the Likud primaries, and I must admit the momentum was really powerful. And then taking that great momentum and then shifted it to another party, to Chazit party with Baruch Marzel, while you still had the whole national attention, you would have continued to get all the media play that you got, and you know, maybe you could have even gotten a fourth seat, even a third, fourth, fifth seat.
And then what?
Then at least, you know, you're in the game, you know, for another 3 years until the next election.
Let me give you a perfect example that I always remember that show how wrong this assumption is. Look at our dear friend, and I'm saying it seriously, Effie Eitam. When he left the army, there was a great expectations from him. And he thought where to go, Mafdal, Likud. I told him he has to go to the Likud. However, he chose Mafdal and achieved a great success. He got immediately not only into the Knesset, into the government. He becomes the head of Mafdal immediately into the government. Later on, Knesset member. And he's we all understand how effective he is today. There's a, you know, long way to nowhere and a short way to nowhere and
long way to something.
Long way to something, yes.
Yeah, but we see that perhaps now the National Union and the Mafdal combined can get maybe even up to 15 seats in the Knesset in the higher estimates.
I'll give you a different example. Rechavam Ze'evi, right? I was just in Hebron yesterday, and they said our great friend Rechavam Ze'evi. Rechavam Ze'evi, when he was a Knesset member, he really helped us out and he helped us build whatever we had. He really was there beside us. So a Knesset member, you're right, you know, may not be able to stop the disengagement, but is able to affect something or other, you know, help somebody, you know, push the buttons where they can. They can't do it all, obviously, and we've been witness to that in the past 6 months here in Israel, that people like Ariel Dad or Benny Alon were not able to stop this thing, but it's something. Let me put it to you this way. I'm going to ask you a point-blank question. Are you not concerned that Manigut Yudit will fade from the public consciousness if it's not running, it doesn't have its voice, the microphone of the Knesset?
Look, so far, our voice was stronger from the Likud microphone than most of the Knesset members who has the Knesset microphone. I mean, if you ask the average Israeli, you'll give him 120 names and ask him who does he recognize out of all Knesset members, you can be sure that my name will appear in one of the top 10, maybe after a few ministers. So the Knesset is not necessarily giving you more publicity. On the other hand, going with Marzel would have given us the colors of another right-wing sectorial party, which delivered the complete opposite message of what Manigut Yudit is all about.
That's a very good point.
Also the effectiveness, the way to help, as you said, you mentioned Gandhi and so on. If you look in the last 3 years, who was more effective in the political world against the disengagement, even though we all failed at the end? But who gave Sharon more problems? The Central Committee members of Manhigut Yehudit or the Knesset members of all the right-wing parties together? Those who brought the referendum and the fight inside Likud, or those who fought from outside in the right-wing parties? I think the answer is well known. So, look, I'm not saying that I'm always right.
I mean, it was in both cases that Sharon, you know, simply threw democracy aside, not only from the from the Likud Central Committee, but also remember that he had ministers in his own government that were ready and willing to vote against the disengagement, and Sharon fired them in a completely dictatorship.
That was his real problem. His real problem came from within his party. In the Knesset, he could really do whatever he wanted.
But also in his cabinet. I mean, yes, if anyone was ready to vote against the disengagement in the cabinet, and Sharon in his own cabinet didn't have a majority, but the dictator Sharon fired him the day before.
So let's don't forget, our main goal is not to help the right wing or the settlements. Our main goal is the leadership of Israel, and we have to stay on the ball game of leadership. Look, the Likud may disappear on us.
Right.
It's not that I see the Likud as something that holy that I will. If that will happen, of course, we'll have to think again. Maybe we'll have to create a new Likud. We'll see what to do when it comes. But right now, just to jump from that wagon in order to get 3-4 seats that will lead us to nowhere, actually, I thought it's a mistake. Moti thought differently. Most of our activists, it's not that it was just a discussion between me and Moti. We thought it through and through with many, many people, and that was the decision. Look, Moti will always remain a very good friend, and I'm sure that you'll see us working together in the future, because as I said before, it is a complete machloket l'shem shamayim and not nothing else.
Okay, Moshe, we're speaking with Moshe Feiglin, Manhigut Mondays on Tuesday. The truth of the matter is, I have many more questions for you. They're all written down on a piece of paper here, but they'll just have to wait for, instead of 7 days, 6 more days for next...
That's why we have you on every Monday.
Exactly.
Because we've got lots of questions.
I have really a lot of good questions here sent in by fans. We'll try to cover it next time. Moshe, you have a new book out called The War of Dreams. It's in Hebrew still, but those articles are being translated on jewishisrael.org, and I really recommend that people check it out, and I thank you for being with us today on Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
All the best to you, and a Shana Tova in terms of Tu Bishvat. It's a new year for all of us. May Manigut Yudit grow deep roots in the land of Israel and in the minds of the Jewish people.
I hope Moshe will translate that book into English. I mean, they should offer that English in print. I think that would be a great fundraiser for Manigut Yudit. I think there's a lot of people who would be willing to buy that print if it would be made available in the United States.
There goes Alex again, thinking about how to make money. Listen, God bless you, Alex.
We got to spread the message. Right. And you know, spreading the message brings in the money, and when you bring in the money, that's how you spread the message even more.
Amet, man. May God bless us for a prosperous new year. May the money come down, the energy come down.
You know, I want to put the money in the hands of Moshe Feiglin instead of in the hands of Ehud Olmert.
Amen
to
that,
man. If we do
that,
we'll see this country will develop even much more.